My wife and I traveled to Nicaragua, and our prayer was, God, show us a starting point. You go to a place like that, it's all foreign to you. They speak a different language. You don't know the best, most effective place to start from to reach these Indian people because you don't even know that much about them. But we know the person who does know all about them. So we were praying, God, show us a starting point. And he directed us to a city called Waspam. It's right on the border with Honduras. In fact, you can stand in Waspam, Nicaragua, look across the river. There's Honduras right there. And from there, you can go up the river, and there's villages, both countries, Mosquito villages, only really reached by boat, it's remote. But there's over 110 villages that can be reached from that area. A couple hundred people, up to 3,000 people, small villages, large villages, and there's poverty, there's hunger, there's disease. But the most notable thing to me was the spiritual darkness, the lack of true gospel light. There's some churches, but they don't have a true gospel. So we're excited to our first stop being language school for 1 year to learn to study Spanish, and then go right to Nicaragua and begin to minister up there in that area. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. And I love Missions Conference, and this is your missions month. So you get missions. This pounded all month. Praise the Lord for it. And God used Missions Conference in my life many times, even to work in my life something not related to missions, something else He wants to clean up and take care of. And I'm familiar with that. I'm familiar with having weakness and not being a perfect Christian. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. I'm going to read the first six verses. Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Listen to verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's a strong statement, verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him. There's a cost to living by faith, though. You know what it is? You don't get to live by sight anymore. that's where we're comfortable, where we can see the bank statements. We can see how it's going to happen. We see how our faith promise is going to come in. It's comfortable when we can see it. But when you give up living by sight, it's way better. You get to begin to please God. Are you living a life of faith? Does your life require you to trust God? And the question that goes hand in hand with that is your life pleasing to God? How many of you have noticed that it's an economic downturn? Has it happened to affect Florida at all, or did Disney World keep it all under control? No? Okay. Yeah, people have lost home, people have lost jobs, maybe lost businesses, but I think it's been good for America. I flew into LAX just a few weeks ago, and I saw the classic California lady. She's wearing this bright sundress. She had a big hat on. She was carrying, no offense to zebra, but she had a big zebra purse, and her carousel, her bag was coming around. It was like giraffe skin. She pulled it off, and she started to leave. And then she picked up her little Fifi, in her little poodle, in her dog. Oh, come on, baby! It's the classic California one. And I realize, people in a third world country, if they saw that would they just wouldn't comprehend it. And no offense, if you have a little Fifi in a little bag, that's yours, whatever. But I don't know. There's some things that we spend money on that is frivolous in America. Things were so... I wish I could remember what the item was. I went to Walmart and I wanted to get an item, and they only had like five or six of that item to choose from. They didn't have the one I wanted. If you've been to a third world country, that's a joke. That's hilarious. So I think it's been good for America to have a little bit of wake-up call. Bring people back to God, maybe. Maybe you've suffered trial in this room, and difficult trial. What's the result of that, though? Trials bring us to our knees. Trials bring us back to God, and there's been times in my life when I've been the closest to God, often related to a trial. But also, I think this time has been good for the church. Historically, trials have always been good for the church and its commission to reach the lost. The gospel often flourished in times of trial. I'm just going to read this to you in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Listen to this. "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." That sounds terrible. They were persecuting the church, and imagine the government coming in and the church is being scattered to all these other regions, and maybe having to flee your country. But verse 4, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." God used it to spread his gospel. Trials have been good for the gospel being spread, and historically, materially prosperous times have been bad for the church. Why do you think that is? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. God has designed his work to be done by faith, and when times are good, we don't need faith. Many people today would say that they have faith, but faith is more than words. Faith is, and real faith in life is evidenced by actions. And tonight I want to give you three areas of faith that you and I can grow up from right here from Hebrews 11. Look back at verse 1 with me. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." The first area I believe we can grow in our faith is in the Word of God. Have true faith in the Word of God. There's an example of it in verse 3 there. How do we understand creation? Were we there? Can we figure it out scientifically? No. The Bible tells us. The Word of God tells us. It's a great example. We need to have faith in all the areas of the Word of God. And many of you would say that you do. You take the Bible at faith value, and whatever it says, you believe. But remember, faith can't be evidenced just by words, but by our actions in life. It's one thing to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. It's another to live your life with the mindset of Revelation 4:11, which says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." But one's living with the knowledge, yeah, there's God, and He created us. The other's realizing, I'm here for God's purpose. That's why I'm on earth. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We must grow in this area of faith in the Bible. How many of you could say, "I have complete faith in God's Word"? We could probably all raise our hands. How many of your lives, your daily actions, show that you have complete and utter faith in God's Word? We can believe it, but growth would mean that we live our lives as if everything in God's Word is true. Living as if our life is not our own. Living as if we've been bought with a price. Living as if we owe everything to Christ, as if there is a consequence to sin. Living as if God does see all that we do and He knows our thoughts. Living as if it's our duty to spread the gospel to all the world. Living as if lost souls are more important than a new car or a vacation home or a hobby or our plans. Living as if every last person on this earth is either saved or lost. The saved bound for heaven, praise God. The lost bound for hell. William Carey, the English missionary to India, says, "Surely God means what He says. Surely He means for us. He means for us to who know Him to carry the message of redemption to all men everywhere." That's when a point in his life when he was pastoring and God was working on his heart about missions, and he was starting to realize, okay, God really does want us to believe His Word. He really does want us to reach the world. We can grow in our faith in biblical truth. We'd live differently if we grew in this area. We'd live differently if we believed that our time was short. And I don't know if there was a nut on the radio. He predicted the date that the world was going to end. Did it spread over here to Florida? Came and went, all right? So don't go look this guy up if you don't know who I'm talking about. But he calculated it mathematically to the day the world was going to end. It didn't. But that was only a few days after I graduated Bible college. That's way too much work to finish Bible college, not get to the mission field, but whatever the Lord has. But imagine you could know the date. How would that change your life? How many of you would be fervently trying to win souls versus just killing time on Jeopardy and other things? I think many of us would be fervently trying to win our brothers and sisters and neighbors. Well, the Bible tells us we are running out of time. "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Our time is limited. As a CHP officer, I saw many people who left their home that day for work, for the store, expecting to live many more years. Life snuffed out like that. They didn't even have time for a thought before their life was ended and they went into eternity. We are running out of time. I'm afraid we look at our duty to reach the world as a future event, something we're going to eventually do. We're doing our little part in this generation, and we're going to send some missionaries, and the next generation does a little part and reach some more countries. But as we live and die, so does everybody in these other countries. Some without the gospel, without one gospel witness in their country. Over 7,000 people groups in the world have no gospel witness of 16,000. The majority of them in the 1040 window. Many people in India, we were just with a missionary in India. Many people in India don't even know who Jesus Christ is. It's our duty to reach the world now. So let's get soul winning. Let's be planting churches and going to the mission field and sending missionaries now in this generation so we can make an impact now. Our generation consists of 7 billion people. And what's amazing to me was the world population in 1960, 3 billion. It's now 7 billion people. That means we have a big job. That means we can't be apathetic. We can't be worried about turned into ourselves. And that's something we notice in California. It's kind of a self-centered state, and if you can generalize. And, man, we don't have time for that. We don't have time to accumulate and to acquire, but to serve the Lord. Carl Henry said, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. What can you do about that, personally? What can you do about getting the gospel to somebody so that they can hear it in time? Would God call you to go? Maybe God would call you to go. Maybe God would call you to be an assistant pastor or a pastor to plant a church here in Florida, in an area that needs a church. Maybe God just wants you to send. Financially send a missionary and to pray for a missionary. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And each of us can grow in this area of our faith and biblical truth. We can decide we're going to live as if the Bible is true instead of just pretending that we believe it. The second area I want to give you is found in verse 4. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Sacrifice. We can grow in our faith in sacrifice. That's a tangible area where we can really evaluate our growth as a Christian. We start off by seeing here the sacrifice of Abel. Abel gave an acceptable sacrifice. What was Cain's sacrifice? Unacceptable. God was not pleased with Cain's sacrifice. And every time I read that passage, I think, am I offering to God what's pleasing to Him? Am I giving to God what He's asked of me, or am I giving to God what I want to give Him? Because Cain's offering did not please the Lord. How do you answer that question? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Does your offering require faith? Does what you're offering require you to trust God? And I love to talk about giving because, as my wife alluded to, we were sitting in a pew serving the Lord, and God worked in our hearts about missions giving and giving to the building fund and other things. And after a while, missions giving was our biggest budget item. We give to missions now, even though we're on deputation. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I love to talk about giving. It may seem awkward for the missionary to get up here. You guys need to give more to missions, so but it'll help you. Christian, it'll help you. It helps us all to get our minds off of ourselves and onto others. That's never a bad thing for a Christian. See if you agree with this statement. It would be worth it to live in poverty before we die and go to heaven so that others may be saved from hell. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to suffer a little bit of discomfort, minor discomfort, so that more people may hear of Christ? You are a soul that could have been born anywhere on this earth. You're an eternal soul. You have a body for now. I don't think we're going to get to heaven someday, those who are saved, and God say, you know, I didn't want you to give that so much to missions. I didn't want you to give so much to the church or to the building fund. I wanted you to have a bigger TV. I wanted you to have a nicer car. I wanted you to enjoy your life on earth more. Well, there are souls who I love just the same. Die and suffer in a lake of fire.
God doesn't love American souls more than any other soul in this world. Unfortunately, I've heard many people make statements that they believe that He does. I believe God has just blessed America for now to be a lighthouse for the world. Faith giving and sacrifice, the world and maybe even the carnal Christian would say it's reckless or it's foolishness. Is trusting God reckless or foolishness? Is missions foolish? If you can't trust God, we're wasting our time. I know it's not a prosperous time in our country, but it's a perfect time for Christians to grow in their faith and to serve the Lord in a greater way. Maybe God would take our prosperity so we could trust Him again. What can we do to reach the world? Regardless of the situation in America, let's reach the world. Let's do what we can. Let's do what God has called us to do as individuals. Life's too short not just to give it all to God. In Hebrews 11, we see that God takes notice of faith. We see person after person, their name written down, their act of faith. And God noticed it. So whatever your act of faith is, at the end of the month, you'll make a faith promise commitment. It might be an act of faith. No matter what the amount is, God will look down. If it's given by faith, God will be pleased. God will notice. You know, you don't care if pastor notices. You want God to notice your faith. This church can be a church of great faith. God takes notice of it. It's such a small thing for God to meet our needs. And Pastor shared some of the testimonies that the men have seen special blessings of God because of their faith promise. It's so easy for God to provide. It's just hard for us to trust Him, huh? We can grow in our faith in the truth of the Bible and in faith in regarding service. And quickly, real quickly, and lastly, faith in service. We see that in verse 7. Now by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Here's a man that had direction in life. He was about 500 years old at this point, Noah. And God said, I want you to drop what you're doing and build an ark. It took him about 100 years to build the ark. What struck me with this passage is Noah just allowed the direction of his life. I'm sure at 500 you have a direction, you have plans, you have a retirement prospectus. I don't know if that's the word, but you have it kind of laid out. And he said, whatever you have me to do, God, I'll do it. And for 100 years, he stayed faithful at building that ark. What would you do for the Lord? Something big? He won't ask you to do something big until you say yes to the small things he's asking. And he won't give you even the next small step to do unless you're doing the basic things. Praying, reading your Bible, tithing, holiness. In response to William Carey's zeal for missions, you probably heard this before, but J.C. Ryland interrupted Carey. He said, sit down, young man, sit down and be still. When God wants to convert the heathen, He will do it without consulting either you or me. That was the general mindset in England at that time with the Church of England. Yeah, we're worried about ourselves. He just came out and said it. But honestly, our apathy in America would say the same thing. If God wants to reach him, he'll reach him. No, God does want to reach him. He's trying to get a hold of us. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get the attention to maybe even some people in this room to say, I want you to go. I want you to go to Nicaragua with this couple. Help them out. I want you to go to China. I want you to go somewhere. There's a whole host of, there's an army of givers in here that can send. God wants to get your attention. Say, let's do it. Let's send some missionaries. Let's get them out there. Let's get the gospel spread. I want to reach the unreached. I can't help but think of the lie that you have to build your own security in this life. Secure retirement. Secure job. How many got laid up from a secure job in the last decade? Secure savings. Secure 401k. Security in real estate. That was a really good one, especially in California. It's not secure. Doing God's will with your life. Is security. So why not just jump in? Let's just do it as if souls were in the balance. Because they are. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, you know our hearts. You know each person in this room. You know saved. You know, Lord, if tonight there's somebody sitting here in this room that's not saved. You know the needs. Lord, you have a plan for each person in this room. Lord, help us to say yes. Lord, help us to surrender our lives and stop thinking about our lives, really. Start thinking about what your plan is. To serve you in a greater way, Lord. Help us to help this church, Lord, to grow numerically by reaching souls, spiritually, Lord. Lord, I pray that this church would grow in faith. We all have great room to grow in our faith. Lord, let this church be pleasing to you. Lord, I pray for each person in this room. I don't know how this message would have spoken to anybody here, Lord, but I pray that you would use it. Use it in hearts. Lord, you promised your word would not return void. And Lord, if there's an area in specifically tonight you would speak to me about, help me to be convicted of it. Help me to be aware of it. And I pray the same thing for each person here tonight. Lord, have your will and have your way in the lives of people in this room tonight. We love you.